Hegel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is the sixth tape in the series entitled The Jewish Animal, recorded live at Hegel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York.
Peter Kalif.
Two dots. Achbira Inyan. The explanation in the Inyan is, in order to understand what is going on over here, to understand, if so, what is the true definition of a tzaddik, a beinani, and a rasha, and what concerns us most is the beinani. This is the Sefer Shel Beinanim that deals with the average human being and every human being. So we have to probe into the human condition and examine who we are on the deepest level. So this will be explained al Pimashakos of Harab Chaim Vital Zal. B'Shar HaGdusha, in light of what Reb Chaim Vital writes in Shar HaGdusha, Beitz Chaim Shar Nun Perik Beis. Reb Chaim Vital was the greatest pupil and disciple of the Arizal, Rabbi Yitzchak Luria, the 16th century, one of the greatest mystics in Judaism. He lived in Tzfas. Reb Chaim Vital was his faithful Talmud who transcribed all of his Torah and the wisdom of the Arizal, so we have them today. One of his Svarim is called Shar HaGdusha, another one is called Eitz Chaim, both fundamental works in the field of Kabbalah. Reb Chaim Vital writes in those Svarim, the Lechol Ish Yisrael, every single Jew, Echad Tzadik Ve'echad Rasha. Both a Tzadik and a Rasha. Yesh Tei Neshamas. Each one of them possesses two Neshamas, two souls. Diksiv. He brings a pasuk in Yeshaya Perik Nun Zayin. It says, "Ki ruach melefani yatoif uneshamis ani asisi." Yeshaya Navi quotes the Eibershter as saying, "Ruach melefani yatoif, a spirit will emanate from me that will be humbled uneshamis ani asisi. I created neshamis," as proven from the fact that the beginning of the pasuk speaks about veruach in an individual term, not in a plural term. So when he says, Neshamis and Yasisi, I created Neshamis, he's not addressing the collective Klal Yisrael, that I created Neshamis for all of them. He's addressing the individual, and he's saying, in a plural terminology, Neshamis and Yasisi. What do you mean, I made souls in every person? So he explains that every single human being possesses two Neshamis, two souls. Shehein Shtei Nefashis. This Neshamis is referring to Shtei Nefashis. Two distinct souls that exist within every single Jew, both a tzaddik and barasha. Nefesh achas, one soul, is mitzad haklipa v'sitra achara, comes from a side that is defined as klipa and sitra achara. I will explain the terms in a moment. V'hi hamislabeshes b'dam ha'adam lahachiyis haguf. This soul is the soul that encloses itself in the blood of the human being to sustain and give vitality to the body. Ukediksiv, as it says in Sefer Vayikra, ki nefesh habasar bedamhi. The soul that invigorates, that grants vitality to the flesh of the human being, ki nefesh habasar, the nefesh that sustains the basar, the corporal existence of man, is bedamhi, is enclosed within the blood of the human being. That's one nefesh. Umimena bois kol hamidis rois. And from her stem, all the midos rise, the negative emotions and attributes of the human being. Before we go further, he goes in over here to several details. Let me give a brief introduction of what is going on over here. I will explain soon. The Alter Rebbe over here sets up, perhaps, or not perhaps, the basic doctrine of the Tanya, that every single human being, every Jew, possesses two souls, two distinct souls. One soul will be called throughout the Tanya a Nefesh HaBahamas, an animalistic soul. Another soul will be called the Nefesh HaLakis, the godly soul. What are these two souls? What are their functions? How do they express themselves? The Nefesh HaBahamas has two general functions. Number one, it is that spiritual energy that sustains us and grants us vitality. Ki nefesh habasar bedami. The biological life of the human being comes from nefesh habahamis. Just like an animal, a cow, a horse, or a sheep, has a soul, a spiritual energy that allows them to walk, to eat, and to breathe, and to have blood circulation, etc. The same is true with the human being. Also has a biological, spiritual nefesh that allows him to live. This also grants him the ability to perceive things, the five senses, where a person can see and hear and smell and taste and touch, all come from this soul. That's one basic aspect of the soul. Literally what we live, physical definition of life, comes from the soul. Therefore, in Tanya, it is also synonymous with another term, nefesh achiyunis. Nefesh achiyunis means the soul of vitality, because it's the soul that a animalistic soul grants vitality. So the Rebbe will be using both of these terms sometimes together. It has, however, another function. Since it's not dealing just with a plain animal, or for that matter, even vegetation has some type of soul, also a nefesh achiyunis, you're dealing with a human being. So this soul possesses an entire range of attributes, faculties, characteristics, instincts that grant him a personality and a character. This soul is not only a functional soul that allows you to move. It's a soul that comprehends, that understands, that dreams, that fantasizes, that loves, that hates, that has motives, that thinks, that talks, that does. It's an entire structure, an entire faculty of a soul, beginning with the first glimmer of consciousness, or whatever definition you're going to use for soul, a consciousness that manifests itself in a complete character. But nonetheless, but nevertheless, what is the definition of the soul? It's an animalistic soul. Why is this? Because this soul, if you want to define it in one word, it's self-oriented. That's what it cares about. Its entire ambition, what lies at the core of it, is self. I am I, and I would like to be fulfilled. I want to eat, I want to drink, I want money, I want sleep, I like music, I like poetry, I like philosophy. The whole spectrum of the human condition. But what lies at the bottom of it is a sense of self-centeredness, self-orientation. That's the animalistic soul that every human being possesses. Then there is another soul, a nefesh elikis, a godly soul. And this is also a soul. A whole structure of persona, beginning with consciousness and manifesting itself in a complete human being, in a complete spiritual structure. But what is this soul? This soul is called a godly soul. What lies at the heart of this soul is transcendence and godliness. The essence of this soul is that its connection to ultimate transcendental divine reality, it constantly gravitates to its divine source, like the fire on a wick that constantly rises. And it's that ability in the person for true idealism. True idealism, in other words, true transcendence, rising beyond himself and touching the divine, comes from the godly soul. And every human being possesses both of these souls. And Alter Rebbe sees in this the source of all the millions of motives, instincts, thoughts, speech, deeds of the human being come from these two souls. Either they can come from the godly soul, which has pleasure and will and characters and understanding and feelings, etc., etc., and that can be the motivating factor of the human being. Either what he does, his behavior, or his words, or what he thinks, comes from the animalistic soul. And the dichotomy in the human being between our spiritual godly aspirations and our earthly tendencies is in essence the dichotomy between this soul and that soul. Now, Alter Rebbe in the Tanya sees the multifaceted, complex human being with all his ups and downs and fluctuations and trials and tribulations, all coming back to the essential duality, the essential created duality that God imbued in the human being between this soul and that soul. Now Hashem could have created the godly soul to be in China and the animalistic soul to be in America. But He put them both in one body. So they basically, at their disposal, they have one set of hands, one brain, one stomach, and one set of feet. Over here begins a struggle. There's a perpetual struggle. Who gets the court? And this, over here we have the definitions of different individuals, but that is what lies at the heart of these two souls. Yeah.
Can you just clarify for me, when you're talking about these two aspects, you say every person, every human being, aren't we talking about Yidden?
Yeah, every Jew, yeah. Yeah, every single Jew. Every, for that matter, it should be noted, we will elaborate at it, but just for the sake of clarity, every single human being, for that sake, every single creature possesses a divine spark and divine intention. But over here we're talking about the Jew. It's not the same divine spark. Yeah?
If someone does something for both the Hamas and the Shabbos and
Okay. Over here, it's a good question, and there are stages in this. Since the Nefesh HaLakis is in your body, and since your biological life comes from your Nefesh HaBahamas, so the Nefesh HaLakis constantly needs the Nefesh HaBahamas. The Nefesh HaLakis does not live in one part of your body, and Nefesh HaBahamas in another part. The Nefesh HaLakis is enclosed within the Nefesh HaBahamas and constantly needs and uses the Nefesh HaBahamas as a medium to deal with a concrete materialistic life. Because our physical life comes via the Nefesh HaBahamas. You get it? So everything the Nefesh HaLakis does on a functional level in experience is always done through the Nefesh HaBahamas. But the question is, what is the identity of it? So by a tzaddik, there is full sync between the Nefesh HaBahamas and the Nefesh HaLakis. And by the way, it can only go one way over here. Because the Nefesh HaBahamas is not bad by nature. So it doesn't have to be executed and killed and mortified and murdered. It's not evil. It's just animalistic. It's self-oriented. It can be refined. It can be educated. It can be explained. It can also ultimately result in evil doing and result in Pari HaRashas and Haman's HaRashas. But it can also, on the other hand, be elevated, be refined. It won't become a godly soul. The tzaddik is that individual who creates beautiful harmony between the two souls. And in that itself, there are many levels. We'll see the tzaddik she'eni gomer and the tzaddik gomer and the David HaMelech tzaddik and Avram tzaddik. The Rasha is the one who allows his nefesh HaBahamas to gain mastery over his day-to-day life. The Beinoni is the hero of the Tanya. The Beinoni is the man who does not rid himself from the nefesh HaBahamas because he cannot rid himself from the nefesh HaBahamas. And his whole life is a struggle. But it's a struggle that Hashem created him for. It's a struggle that creates the beauty of the Beinoni, who has a dichotomy in life, who has in him a Nefesh HaLakis and a Nefesh HaBahamas, who has in him heaven and earth, and a perpetual struggle between heaven and earth, but learns how to actualize his godly potentials and live in his day-to-day life with the Nefesh HaLakis, although the Nefesh HaBahamas still exists. Yeah. Both. The souls, since they are both souls, they all have conscious characteristics and subconscious characteristics, conscious motives and subconscious motives. You're dealing with a full arena of two souls. Yeah. Right. 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 Yeah. Right, right. Yeah, in other words, what happens by him is that the Nefesh HaBahamas becomes totally an expression and a conduit for the character of the Nefesh HaLakis. So his whole biological life will be in accordance and as a garment just for the godly soul to express itself. Right. For 80 years, yeah. Right. Right. Even a tzaddik has bechira, yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's a good question. I'll address it in a moment, yeah? Well, we'll discuss it. The Tanya elaborates on this. Just briefly, just to answer you, then I'll come to you, is when you're doing a mitzvah, so it's also the Nefesh HaLakis being expressed, because the Nefesh HaLakis would want you doing this mitzvah. So even when your motivations come from the Nefesh HaBahamas, nonetheless, the actual mitzvah is something, so to speak, that nourishes the Nefesh HaLakis also. But the motivations perhaps come from the Nefesh HaBahamas. That's possible. Sometimes it becomes very difficult to discern what comes from what. But this is the general perspective, and it literally lies at the heart, at the quintessence of the human existence, and from it stem every single aspect of our life can be traced back to the Nefesh HaLakis or to the Nefesh HaBahamas. And the Tanya goes on and brings the person into himself to see the essential duality that exists in the Nefesh HaLakis and the Nefesh HaBahamas, and to learn how to be able to relate both to his Nefesh HaLakis and to learn how to refine the Nefesh HaBahamas. The definition of klippa is as follows. Klippa means a shell, a husk, and is compared to the shell of a fruit, which first and foremost conceals the fruit. A shell of an orange, of a nut, you do not see the fruit. In order to eat the orange, you first have to get rid of the shell. You have to peel it. Only then will the actual fruit become conspicuous, and you can eat it, consume it, and enjoy it, have delight from it. That is what the klipa is. So the klipa is the shell that conceals over the fruit. The Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, not only created the world, but sustains the universe every single moment of creation, leads and directs every detail and every facet of the universe and everything that's contained within this universe, every single moment. But nevertheless, he created a concept called klipa. And those are either objects, creatures, or spiritual energies that are a husk and a shell that conceal the reality, the existence, and the truth of the Creator. There is a pasuk in Shmuel, in Shmuel Aleph and Perek Beis, in the Shira of Chana, in the Tefillah of Chana, after the birth of her child, she says, Ein Tzur Kelekenu. She says, there is no rock, Tzur means a rock, like Hashem, like our God. So the Gemara says in Brachas Daf Yud, Ein Tzur Kelekenu, Ein Tzayer Kelekenu. There is no artist like the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Chassidim used to explain, why is there no artist like the Ribbono Shel Olam? What is an artist? An artist, if you want to define him in one word, he is a master of deception. He takes a canvas with pigment and a brush, and he creates a beautiful painting that seems so real and alive, and the truth is, it's inanimate matter. The picture that you see in the painting is, of course, not a reality. But the greater the power of the artist to deceive the individual and to impart vitality and truthfulness to inanimate matter, the greater the artist he is. Ein Tzayer Kelekenu. The greater artist of all is the Ribbono Shel Olam. He is the master of this. He takes nothing. He makes from it something. In essence, it was nothing. It is nothing. It will be nothing. It has no reality of its own, no validity of its own. Its whole source, origin, root is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Its whole purpose is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But nonetheless, you look at the world, and it seems so live, so real on its own. This is the art of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what klipa is. Klipa is the shell that exists in this world that conceals the truth and the essence of our life and our existence. What is Sitra Achira? Sitra Achira is the word in Aramaic for the other side. Sitra means side, Achira means the other. So Sitra Achira is Sad Achir, the other side, which is another way of defining these forces from Klipa. The other side, meaning not the side of godliness and holiness, but rather the side which is antithetical to Kedusha and to Elikus. It's interesting, actually, to define a whole realm of reality as the other side. Will any one of you think to define the color white as being not black, as being on the other side of black? White is white. But notwithstanding, in this case, it is defined as being the other side, because that is precisely what it is, Sitra Achira. In other words, the truth is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. The truth is that the purpose of every single aspect in life is to be developed in a case that it shall house and reveal in itself the reality of godliness. Anything which is not that is called Sitra Achira. That's its definition. Its definition is not, as many people think, Sitra Achira is murder and thievery and literally averus of negativity. That's of course Sitra Achira, that's no question. But Sitra Achira begins with the self-orientation of our universe. That's what Sitra Achira means. When you lose sight of what its essence is, what its focal point is. What's this Nefesh HaBahamas? The Nefesh HaBahamas is not evil as we usually define evil. The Nefesh HaBahamas could be, as they say in Yiddish, quite an edel Nefesh HaBahamas. Quite a nice person. But it's still an animal soul. Because it begins and it ends with self. It is self-directed, self-oriented, self-centered. The Nefesh HaBahamas is the basic dictum and consciousness. I am I. And I would like to be I, and I would like to be comfortable, and I would like my pleasures to be fulfilled, and I would like to live a happy, tranquil, and joyous life. And whatever I need to do that, I will do. So some people like wisdom, some people like music, some people like poetry, some people like working, some people like money, honor, etc. Of course, from the sense of I, can stem, and the consequence could be other more negative things. That's a state of evolution. But what is the definition of the Nefesh HaBahamas? Just an animal soul. Why is it called an animal soul? Because that is the definition of an animal. And it can be quite spiritual and lofty and sublime, but nonetheless it remains in the realms of selfhood. Of self. So that's why this Nefesh comes from Klipa and Sitra Achira. Because that's the definition of Klipa and Sitra Achira. This Nefesh comes from those realms of energy that conceal the basic truth. That the essence of everything is godliness. The purpose of everything is to become a dwelling place for the reality of godliness. But nevertheless, this nefesh does not sense it, beginning with its first glimmer of consciousness, it does not sense it. Throughout its entire personality and what it aspires to is a nefesh HaBahamas. So the Alter Rebbe is saying over here, that this nefesh comes from Klipa and Sitra Achira, and it begins with the biological life of man. I exist. I am a live human being. I'm a metzius for myself. I'm an independent, walking creature who thinks, talks, breathes, and smiles. That's a nefesh HaBahamas. In addition to that, he adds, from this come all the midos rois me'arba yisoidos royim shabbat. Okay, we'll see in a moment. They tell a story about the Mittler Rebbe. The Mittler Rebbe was the son of the Baal HaTanya, Reb Shneur Zalman, his middle son. He had three children. His name was Reb Dov Ber. And after he passed away, he is the one who replaced him in the leadership of the Chabad dynasty of Rebbes. He's known as the Mittler Rebbe, the middle Rebbe. When he was a younger man, the Alter Rebbe, his father, instructed him to guide and instruct the young man who would come to the Rebbe to seek advice and guidance in their service of the Almighty, that he should study with them and direct them and instruct them, because the Alter Rebbe did not have enough time to deal with every individual on a day-to-day basis. So the Mittler Rebbe would always demand from those who were under his guidance the idea of coming together, Jews coming together, and talking about intimate issues of Avodas Hashem. He said that if someone has a problem, an intimate problem, and issues dealing with his spiritual life, his psychological life, his service to the Almighty, he should talk it over with a friend, with a colleague. People express to each other the ills of their heart. And he said that way is the greatest blessing, the greatest manner in which things can be rectified. To have a true friend and colleague to which you can talk about these issues of life. Which is, by the way, where the whole idea of a Fabrengen started. In Hasidism, there's a term called Fabrengen. It means a gathering where people gather together and discuss spiritual, intimate issues in Avodas Hashem together with each other. So the Mittler Rebbe once told someone, he said, after all, when two Jews come together and talk about Inyanim of Yahadus, Inyanim of Avodas Hashem, it is two godly souls versus one animal soul. He says, Tzvei Nefesh HaLekisis of a Nefesh HaBahamas. Mathematically, it doesn't seem correct. Two Jews is two Nefesh HaLekis versus two Nefesh HaBahamas, not two over one. So what's Pshat? Pshat is hazeh. There's a very major difference between the godly soul and the animal soul. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Ein adam chayti v'laylai. Even the greatest sinner does not sin for the sake of someone else. He sins for his own sake. He wants the pleasure. I'm not interested. You should sin. The Nefesh HaBahamis is very self-oriented. The Nefesh HaBahamis wants to enjoy itself, but it does not care for the tranquil state of its fellow's Nefesh HaBahamis. It cares about its own Nefesh HaBahamis. The godly soul, since it's the godly part of the person, that part in man which gives him the ability to transcend himself, that part in man which aspires towards the godly realm of existence, that part of man which is truly idealistic, a part that senses the reality and truth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and its entire being and every aspect of its persona gravitates towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Certainly desires that its fellow man's Nefesh HaLikis should also be revealed in his or her life, because the Nefesh HaLikis is not selfish. The Nefesh HaLikis wants that the Ratzon Hashem should be fulfilled, and the Nefesh HaLikis loves a fellow person like itself, so it cares for the other one's Nefesh HaLikis. So when one Jew is dealing with himself, with his problems, so there's a struggle of one and one. His Nefesh HaLikis versus his Nefesh HaBahamis. When two Jews come together, what you have is two Nefesh HaLikis attack one Nefesh HaBahamis. Because when I come together with you, so I have my Nefesh HaLikis helping me, and your Nefesh HaLikis helping me. But the Nefesh HaBahamis don't help each other. Umimena, and from her, from this nefesh, ba'is, kol hamidais ra'is, me'arba yisaydis ra'im shaba. From this nefesh stem also all the midais ra'is, the evil characteristics, deriving from the four evil elements within it. It is a well-known idea in Yiddishkeit that every single physical created being has four yesodos, four basic elements which constitute the essence of every creature, of every animal, and of every single thing that exists. These are called the arba yesodos. They are Eish, Ruach, Mayim, and Ofer. Eish is fire, Ruach, ear, Mayim, water, and Ofer, earth. By the way, the origin of this is already to be found in Medrash and Parshas Nasai. The Medrash discusses the Karbonis and the Siyim. So there were three Eilus and one Chatas. The Medrash says, Keneged Arba Yisaydis. In Zohar, they are mentioned many, many times. And the Rambam in Sefer Hayah devotes 1.5 chapters to discuss in great detail the idea of these Arba Yisaydis in Hilchos Yisaydi HaTorah, half of Perek Gimel and almost the whole of Perek Dalet. The point of it is, in short, that Hashem created four elements. Eish, Ruach, Mayim, and Ofer. Now these four elements are not the fire and water and air and earth that we know, rather a much more loftier and less defined state. From these elements, every single creature on this earth derive. Everyone combines all four, even fire combines all four. The fire that we know, the water that we know, the air that we know, the earth also is comprised of all these four elements. However, in our physical fire, what is the most emphasized and conspicuous is the fire element. In earth, what is the most conspicuous and emphasized is the earth element. But these four states, these four elements, are much more loftier. They are the potential for these, for all types of creatures, and from the combination of these elements are comprised all aspects of creation. By the way, some modernists try to explain these Arba Yisaydis as being connected to the four elements of solid and liquid and gas and energy. So Ofer would be solid and Mayim would be liquid. Ruach is gas and Eish is energy. Others want to connect it to matter, antimatter, positive and negative, to these four Yesodos. By the way, this, when you speak about these four elements, it does not mean that they themselves cannot be subdivided into many elements. Thus, they are not to be confused with elements of chemistry, etc. And there's no contradiction over here. These very elements can have offshoots and be subdivided into many, many more elements. Just like every physical creature contains these arba yisaides, the question is just which one is more emphasized in its life. The same is true about spiritual creatures, are also comprised, according to the Torah, from these four yisaides. But of course, not from the four physical yisaides, from the four spiritual yisaides. The Zohar, actually, in Parshas Va'era, has many pages explaining different aspects of creation coming from these yisaides. Even the four sides of the world, Mizrach, Ma'ariv, Darim, and Safin, also come from the four yisaides. The Zohar goes so far as to explain the weather and aklim of these four parts of the world and their correspondence with the four yisaides. So everything comes from the four yisaides, and even the spiritual realities also have four yisaides. Its first origin are the four letters of Shem Havaya, the Shem of Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Yud, the Kei, the Vav Kei are connected, these four yisaides, and since everything comes from the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, so every level of creation in its entire state of evolution, I don't mean Darwinism evolution, I mean evolution from the spiritual to the physical, contains these four elements which reflect the Yud Kei Vav Kei of Hashem's name. So when you talk about souls, they are also comprised of four elements. When you talk about a Nefesh HaBahamas, it is also comprised of four elements, but since it's a Nefesh from Klipa, so the four elements are not four elements of Gdusha, they're four elements of Klipa. And these four elements produce all the negative characteristics of the Nefesh HaBahamas, being as it's a Nefesh HaBahamas. What are these Midos Rais? So the Alter Rebbe goes on to say, the Hainu, Kaz v'gaiva miyisayd ha'ei shenigva l'mayla. Anger and gaiva, pride, emanate from the element of fire which rises upwards. The connection, of course, of anger to fire does not have to be elaborated upon. We say in the Megillah, Tchedesh Adar v'chamase barabai. His anger was burning in him. Anger, of course, is a state of fire and warmth and heat. And a person who becomes angered is ready to burn and to destroy, to break, to eradicate, etc. What's the connection, however, of gaiva to fire? So the Alter Rebbe explains, fire rises upwards, and gaiva is that self, that sense of superiority. A person feels that he's superior to other individuals, to other people, and thus can step on them, can insult them, can mistreat them. This comes from the negative element of fire rising upwards in a negative sense. The appetite for pleasures emanates from the element of water. For water promotes the growth of all kinds of pleasure-giving things. Every single person possesses a taivas atanugim, and this is a major feature of the Nefesh HaBahamas. It simply wants to have pleasure. I don't have to elaborate about this taiva. I think it's quite familiar to all of us, or some of us at least. Taiva satanugim is the desire to have delight, to have pleasure, in a variety of ways. Everyone has their tanugim. But this is a very conspicuous way where the Nefesh HaBahamas expresses itself. It's true self-assertion. I would like to be comfortable at the moment. That's the Nefesh HaBahamas. This taiva satanugim comes from Yisayd HaMayim. The connection he gives is because Mayim gives growth to all types of Tainuk. Since Mayim gives growth to all types of Tainuk, it means that water itself is intrinsically connected to the idea of Tainuk. So the element of water in the person is that pleasurable, delightful element in him which seeks Tainuk. It's interesting to note that I think it's a common sense, Alter Rebbe does not say it here, that when we come to a large assembly of water, whether it's a pool even, or certainly a beach or an ocean, there is a certain delight that resonates within the human being at the moment. Most people, it's a very common phenomenon, and water has a unique mystery that it gives a certain openness. The word is tainug, it's just a general sense of delight of coming to water, being water, submerging oneself in water, etc. So this taivas atanugam comes from Mayim. One moment. Vahululus V'letzonez v'espirus advarim b'telem yisayd haruach. Frivolity, hululus, letzonez is scoffing, dvarim v'espirus is boasting, dvarim b'telem is idle talk. Kom yisayd haruach, they emanate from the element of ear. Ear lacks substance. Ear is teichenless. It's characterless. At least, as we view it and observe it. And this is what these traits are all about. A frivolous human being, a letz, a scoffer, day and night, that is his involvement. Or love, dvarim b'telim, gossip, idle talk, all this come from the element of it. There is no substance to it, there is no teichen to it, there is no character to it. Kas and gaiva have a negative character, but there's some character to it, there's a substance to it. Taivas atanugim could be very substantial. It's a negative substantiality, perhaps. This, l'chatchila, the person becomes engulfed. And what excites him is things that lack substance. There are people that can devote their life, their entire life, years and years for litzonis, for just making fun of this person and this phenomenon and that individual. And that is what their pleasure is. Their pleasure is frivolousness, hululus, ispirus, and varim b'tel. And finally, he concludes, laziness, and atzvus, melancholiness, depression, they emanate from the element of earth. Earth is characterized by heaviness, and a person who unfortunately possesses these two traits of sloth and depression, melancholiness, has a very powerful sense of heaviness, lacks ambition, life, enthusiasm, fervor. In addition to this, earth is also something that stepped on, and a person who's characterized by atzlus and atzvos will never rise to the occasion, but rather allow himself to be stepped on and that maximize his talents, potentials, and gifts. So these middos are a general framework of negative middos that come from the personality of the Nefesh HaBahamas. One person might possess them all, one person might possess them very little, one person might possess one or two, but nonetheless, it's a natural disposition. Since the Nefesh HaBahamas is a natural self, it's a natural animal soul, and it has four Yisaidis, so these middos come from these Yisaidis. Yeah, any questions? Yeah.
When you mentioned Tainu in relationship to Mai.
Yeah.
What about on Shabbos? When Tainu and Mai Dani is something that we're supposed to have, is that still being driven by the Nefesh HaBahamas, or is that now a function of the Nefesh HaBahamas?
Okay. All these, the Nefesh HaLikis, the godly soul, also possesses these four elements. As everything possesses these four elements. So it also has Eish, Ruach, Mayim, Afar. But that's Eish, Ruach, Mayim, Afar, which is holiness, and therefore everything that stems from it is holiness. So Eish can be directed in positive aspects. The same is true with Ruach, Mayim, and Afar. Tainuk, pleasure and delight, does not have to be animalistic. The soul, godly soul, has plenty of Tainuk. The question is how you define this tainug. The tainug of the Nefesh HaBahamas is a tainug of that self-oriented and self-directed and characterized by self. The Nefesh HaLikis is another soul. The Nefesh HaLikis is the godly element in the human being from which, as mentioned, our sense of aspiring to true transcendence and connection with godliness and holiness stems from. Every person possesses these two souls. The story of our life is a perpetual struggle between these two souls, as discussed last week. So all these aspects of Tainug, etc., exist in the Nefesh HaLikis, and should exist. Tainug is not a negative sense per se. Furthermore, in light of the Tanya, the Nefesh HaBahamas is not bad per se. It's not something that has to be destroyed, eradicated, and executed. The Nefesh HaBahamas, on the contrary, can be educated, refined, sublimated. Because the Nefesh HaBahamas is not evil in the sense that its whole essence is to do bad things. It's just the essence of the Nefesh HaBahamas is it wants to have self-gratification. So it can be refined, and even its midos can be utilized in sync and as a conduit to the Nefesh HaLikis. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, it's a very good question that you're asking, and it will be explained at length later in Tanya. He discusses that at length. How the work of refining the Nefesh HaBahamas occurs and what happens to its klipa dynamic. Yeah?
So, but now that I know, not only know that, that Popper is a custoid of Atlas, is there any way to, from his lady, to include himself knowing this piece of information? Or is this the condition to say it is? In other words, now I learned now that the Popper is the root of Atlas.
Well, well, I think it helps to know where things come from, yeah, to deal with it. Drink extra water, he's saying. No, to overwhelm the offer, to drown the offer. I don't know. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Everything comes from Hashem. Klipa, Sitrach, everything. Yeah.